amazing unicorns.
Harmon Brothers.
The Walk of Shame.
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 It's time for the marketing headlines.
This is not brand new news, but Shane Gillis was a stand-up comedian who was famously fired from Saturday Night Live because of some inappropriate, some might say racist jokes that were still out there on the internet when he originally got hired. It surfaced, he kind of got blacklisted, and then Saturday Night Live had to let him go. But he went back on the show about a month ago, and he did, I mean, it was funny because you could tell like the audience didn't love him. It was a rough set. Yeah, like his monologue was like...
Laughter was sweetened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The track was sweetened.
For sure piped in.
Yeah. It was like a Disney Channel show up in there.
Yeah. It was a laugh track. Like some guy was like, is there a way to make this louder?
Turn it up.
Yeah. But they had some sketches that were actually pretty solid.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that was the best, in my opinion, actually didn't even make it to air. Have you seen this one?
I have, but okay. I didn't know that it didn't make it to air. Yeah. I saw it.
I feel like most people don't watch it live. So the reason I wanted to bring this Limu Emu and Doug sketch, because it's a sketch about it's a Liberty Mutual, like Limu Emu and Doug characters, which they launched a couple of years ago, which is like Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. And it's like a detective who's working with, you know, a emu to like basically hawk, you know, Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Yes.
But they made it like into this really dark sketch that I think out of all the stuff that they did was easily the most entertaining.
Yeah.
It was so funny and so sharp.
I agree.
But the best part about it was like, it was 100% the exact copy you would see in a like corporate approved Liberty Mutual, like, because with Liberty Mutual, you can customize and save. You can customize and save.
Right. Like, the value props were spot on.
It was spot on. And I was like, wait a second. Is this actually like approved advertising?
Right.
That's literally what I thought. Cause I'm like, this feels like they didn't deviate from it. They never made fun of the copy of like you customize and save with Liberty.
No.
It was always in there, but like in a juxtaposed way where you still laughed at it.
And they were making fun of the emu more than anything.
Oh yeah.
And making fun of like cop dramas.
Yeah. It was essentially Training Day with an emu.
Yes, exactly.
Where he's like crooked and he's like doing a line of cocaine off of the table.
A crooked emu.
Yeah. So messed up. Shoots a guy.
Kills a man.
Who didn't like have a weapon. He's innocent. Anyway, but it was very like, I was like, man, this is crazy. So it got me thinking. And then you and I were talking offline. We're like, this is crazy. They're using like their real jingle, their real brand, like logo. And then we did some digging and turns out that a couple, we said 3 years ago, Saturday Night Live started an initiative where they had like branded sketches. But I think that from what we had to do a little sleuthing online to figure this out, but there was like people in like writer circles and on Reddit who were saying there are certain partnerships that they will do at Saturday Night Live. But the brand does not have final say on what the sketch is.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of taking a little bit of a risk because it's not going to obviously be approved or like, you know, like, oh yeah, that's like, we want to have the stamp of approval on this.
And do you watch Saturday Night Live live?
No, never.
You never do.
I always go back to the sketches. I can't tell you last time I watched like Saturday Night Live live. It's been probably 10 years.
I'm wondering. I don't, but I'm wondering if they, because the source that we saw said they don't have ads anymore. In between the sketches.
It's very limited ads.
Limited ads. And so instead, they've supplemented that with sketches that are promoting a product, even though they're primarily like making jokes.
Yeah. But it feels like it's not interrupting the flow of comedy in a sketch show, right?
Right. It still feels funny and enough to the point where like some of like another sketch that popped off was their Fisher Price wishing wells for sensitive boys, which Shane needs to watch. Even if it's not a sponsored ad, I remember those so much more than
so much more because
normal ads.
This is what I think. This is one of the reasons Harmon Brothers has done well in the past is because we've always had to walk our clients right to the edge, like right on the edge every single time. And like oftentimes people come to us to push them to do that. Like Squatty Potty was like, we had to really talk them into doing that. Right. They like, we had to like calm them down like before the launch party. Like I remember Chatbooks, like they were so hesitant when we were trying to sign them. They were like, yeah, but like, you know, you can make poop funny, but like, we're a family photo book company. We're kind of sentimental and kind of like cute. And we're like, no, families are funny. And there's tons of like comedy gold in here. You can make very funny. It doesn't have to be poop jokes.
Right. You can take baths clothed.
Yeah. Which is what we did. But I mean, like there's always like, we want to push people to the edge of it. And it's funny because this is essentially what made these successful and memorable in my mind of like, that looks exactly like an ad I would see online, but it's doing something that an ad online would never do.
And you get the excuse of it's SNL.
It's SNL. Whatever.
You don't, it doesn't have to be a part of your branding that it's an emu who smokes cocaine.
And I shoots do drugs. Innocent people.
But yeah, you don't have to, that's not part of your branding because it's a different company who is known for being silly and crazy and saying like some swear words.
And I think, and we've talked a little bit about this in podcasts, I think to some degree, TikTok is like a small version of that where brands can take huge swings that are completely deviating from like they completely deviate from their brand guidelines on a big, you know, corporate level. And there's like almost no risk because people are like, they're totally fine with a swing and a miss. And like, unless it's something like racially charged or something that's really controversial, it almost either does nothing and it just fizzles out of existence, or it pops off and does super well. And people are like, dang, that was funny.
I think you're right. The takeaway is if you can find a third party space like TikTok, or if you want to use an influencer or partner with somebody who
like
can
a sketch,
who can maybe push things a little bit further than you can, like maybe try
and like
it out.
Almost have some like, I'm like
a patsy,
like a scapegoat. Like, oh, it wasn't us. You know, if it goes south, it's like, we do not approve this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Get an intern.
They went rogue. Get an intern. Fire them.
Willing to take the fall.
Yeah, exactly.
But pay them ahead of time. So.
Yes. And be like, if I throw you under the bus, we're still good.
We're
still good. We might do more.
We'll write you a letter of recommendation.
Okay.
Have you seen any of the April Fool's branding that companies have done?
I mean, a handful. Like, I've seen some posts and like some stuff.
Okay. I'm going to rapid fire shoot through some and then
tell you if they're real or not.
And then we can talk about them.
Okay. Shoot.
And what you think it's effective. Okay. We got Olipop. You know that soda? Mm-hmm. Sour cream and onion. Pringles collaboration. So it's a drink, sour cream and onion.
Okay.
We got
that's disgusting.
Normally like gummies, like they're like sugar free or low sugar, like Swedish Fish, but they pickled with Hot Girl pickle gummies. We got California Farms, which usually makes oat milk. They partnered with Grillo's Pickles to do pickle milk.
Pickle creamer.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Gross. Batiste dry hair shampoo.
These are real.
These are real. They posted these.
Okay.
They did a stain removing dry shampoo.
I don't know if you're this way, Shay.
Yeah.
Every April Fool's, I get caught by like two or three of these.
So do you feel like it's more effective when it works and they actually trick you, or when you're like, that's gross, but like, and I get it, that's not
it's
real.
It's like a ha-ha, a quick chuckle.
It's like, know. That would be gross.
It's more memorable to me when I get like
shocked.
Fooled and I'm like, oh, that's like,
but
like some people have done like whole launch videos on April Fool's it's like huge, like they're announcing a new product, like an Apple like keynote.
Duolingo did one that felt it's funny because it was boring enough that it felt real, but then when they finally hit you with the punchline, it was instead of push notifications, they're gonna send the owl in real life to just like stare at you to say, which is like the classic Duolingo joke, right? It's like oppressive trying to get you to learn the language, but
the owl shames you into doing your Duolingo time
shame tactics.
Yeah,
I'm curious, like, what do you feel like participating in trends like this? Because I would call April Fools, it's like a yearly trend.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What do you think that accomplishes? Do you think it's worth it?
I think to me it makes sense. Like, I feel like a lot of them are check boxes. Like, a lot of these are like,
yeah,
it's like they're like milk toast to me. It's like,
right.
whatever.
Who cares?
You know, who cares? But I think if you have come up with a really good one, it's really clever. But for us, we've actually never done one at Harmon Brothers. We should have done
one. We should.
Next year.
Right.
April 25.
Because I was going to say, it is fun that there's a built-in opportunity for a joke in a way to, it is like a,
it's like you're already given permission.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like people are like, oh, yeah, go ahead. We're waiting. And so I think, you know, for any company that's, I mean, it is a year away, but, but I'm trying to think, what are other opportunities where it's like, this is a great chance to like show off, be funny, you know, grab the attention while people are waiting for it.
I think the closest proxy I can think about is the Super Bowl ad, which is totally cost prohibitive for most.
Oh yeah.
But like, that's like the only place where it's like, what are the funny commercials this year?
Yeah.
But it's, and like some people try and do stuff that's like a non-Super Bowl commercial, right? Where it's not actually on the Super Bowl, but they're running it around the same time.
Yeah.
And some people have done like, oh, we couldn't afford a Super Bowl ad, so we had to do this or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? But like, nothing really mirrors the opportunity to like do something really outlandish. It's like 100% excused, like April Fool's.
Brooke, our ad buyer, she said that pretty commonly campaigns do much better when you say seasonal stuff, even if it's as simple as like this winter or
there's like statistical findings around that, especially around products that play to specific seasons like better.
That's
right?
True.
Like if you have like something that like boosts your immunity, like something emergency, right? This fall season, like fight off like, you know, cold and flu season with emergency, you know, or something like that. It's like, oh yeah, that is like more timely for this product. I'm not going to get it in like the summer where everyone's like, nobody's got a cold.
Right. And even just reminding them like, it is winter.
It's that time of year where you get sick and your kids get sick and then you get sick again.
Yeah. That can help.
Yeah. Boom. What's next, Shay?
You want me to go again? Target came out with a new Kristen Wiig Target Lady commercial. But this is a twist because SNL is not producing it. It was the big mama Target herself.
So we were talking about this ad because I actually brought this up to you before the podcast.
Yes.
I think this is such an interesting play. In the same way, very similar way that like the Saturday Night Live one is, because it's like they're involved on some level. And obviously this one with Kristen Wiig, they were way more involved. But they're also like being somewhat self-aware and like kind of poking fun at themselves. So they kind of have, I don't want to say the same vibe, because clearly like Doug and Lemu the Emu were way more violent.
There's
and
no
way
cocaine
more
in the Target.
There's no cocaine.
Let's just say that.
Visible.
Kristen Wiig is on something, though.
Just like tons of
her character.
That explains so much about her energy.
How'd she do it? We know how.
She's got her motor going pretty hard.
It's like that John Mulaney joke. He's like, I might not have as much energy as when I was a kid, and now you know why.
Okay.
I missed that.
But yeah, I think it's interesting because like clearly this is like posted from Target's official like YouTube channel.
Yes.
It's there. They like were clearly overseeing the whole thing from the soup to nuts. But I do think that like the whole thing is so funny. And it's like, I like that they're like actually like being kind of aware and cheeky about their own audience, about
it's
their own consumers,
funny.
And it's relatable and like not taking themselves too seriously.
Yeah. I think it's so perfect for Target because there are so many sketches about
so
them
many.
Constantly. Like the meme of like going to Target to buy one thing, come out spending $300, whatever. And so many
Dude, there's
of
a whole category of just the dollar section, like, you know, like the $1 to $5 section at Target. Like just like you probably find like honestly like millions of posts just about that
section.
Yeah.
People are like, this is not a sponsored video. I just love this product from Target. Endless videos. And so I think it's so fun to tap into that energy that's already there. That's like,
and own the dialogue around
it. And say, we want you to come here because we love the way that we are. We love our customers and we love them enough that we can tease them a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the takeaway for this?
I think we talked about this a lot of the podcast, but there's real value in not taking yourself too seriously and being really acutely aware of your core audience and like what they like about your brand, what they appreciate about your brand. And you tapping into that in a humorous manner, I think is something that is really, really like valuable, like, and really something that like endears the, like your consumer to you. Cause you're like, they get me. They're just funny. And they don't take themselves too seriously. They're not a stodgy brand. Cause like people are sick of stodgy brands at this point in time.
Yeah.
People are sick of like, just, I don't know, the same old like boring corporate, like approved, like just, you know what I mean? And so this is like, it's a, it like kind of builds into the brand in a big way. of like, they don't take themselves too seriously.
I also think they saw content that somebody else made and they were like, we want to be behind that. We want to like
own that voice.
We want to own that voice and put our guts behind it. Influencers will post videos, or just normal people. They'll post videos and be like, this is not sponsored. This is not, I'm not being paid, but I love this product and here's why. And then brands will reach out to them and say, I want to use your organic video as an ad. Can I like retroactively buy that content for you and push it? And to me, that is convincing. Like I appreciate that. And I think it's just in a different font and a probably a more attainable way.
Yeah.
It's a way to say like somebody else is like pushing my brand in a way that's like resonating with people. And so I'm gonna like back that up.
It kind of reminds you of the Jane girl, the local girl, Jane. She's like the Utah influencer mom.
Oh,
girl.
Oh yes.
They've done that with a ton of her content.
Really?
Where she'll like make fun of something specifically and then she'll get a partnership deal out of it where they'll either take her content and rerun it.
Yes.
Or they'll like be like, can you just make another one specifically for us?
Yes, exactly. And like, I think that is so genius. It's like, why work hard at trying to figure out what's resonating?
Content creators who are making stuff already.
That's already getting thousands, millions of views.
Okay, so to wrap up, we talked about kind of a lot of crossover things today. I think that like it's an interesting space to be in where you can like poke fun at yourself in a third party way that doesn't seem like it's coming directly from you.
And notice what people are saying about you, whether that's comedians, whether that's reviews, whether that's videos already, people, commenting on your product, and then turn that into something you can own yourself.
Yeah. And like turn into a channel that you can acquire customers in. And then the other side with like the emu thing, I think is just like, just that toting the line and pushing right to the edge, I think is what makes things stand out.
Yes.
And like, don't be afraid too. Cause I'm sure nobody, even if they found out Liberty Mutual sponsored that, they wouldn't be like, I'm not buying from those guys anymore.
Yeah. They wouldn't associate that with their brand.
It's just like, it's kind of a funny thing that was just like, they still said their tagline. They say in elder ads. Yeah. It's funny. You know what I mean? Like there's no risk. Yeah. So I think like taking calculated risks that are right in the line. I think it's just making sure this is, I think something we do well is having a good brain trust to know where the line is and how to tote it just so.
Yeah. And follow the noise.
Yeah.
So if a few people are like, this is too far, that could be a good thing.
Thanks so much. Yeah. That's great.
This is the end.
Boop.
Thank you for watching Raising Unicorns!
Subscribe now.